over this last term, autumn term, and also into this next term, within the growth groups, we've been doing a course called Fruitfulness on the Front Line, and many of you have been part of that. But we thought of for our real life slot today, it'd be good to find out a little bit about what that course is about, for those who don't know, and how it's been impacting people's lives. And Davina is now going to come and speak to Charlotte and to Marianne and find out a little bit more about it. So over to you.
Can you all hear me? Yep, great. I'm going to hand this over to Marianne, getting ready. Actually, I was just thinking how really great it is that our memory verse for the year fits in with what we've been doing with Fruitfulness on the Front Line. So if I start with you, Marianne, can you tell us about the Fruitfulness on the Front Line course briefly?
Well, Fruitfulness on the Front Line is was the basis of the SGP conference in 2021. And a lot of us who were attending there thought it was a really good course. And we got, and then it was suggested we did it, we thought it was good. It's about how you can be fruitful, not just in church on a Sunday, but how you can be fruitful for Jesus throughout your entire life and your world. Particularly, they've based it on your front line. Everybody's got a front line, whether they're in work or they're at home. They have a front line, they have people they get in touch with on the day, and this was just to look at the different ways we could be fruitful on the front line. And it was divided into six M's, which I'll tell you more about later.
Great, okay, I was wondering if you can hand it over to Charlotte. And then Charlotte, since we were talking about where our fruitfulness is, where our front line... Sorry, get it right there. Where is your front line, Charlotte?
Well, through doing this course, I've actually realised that my front line is actually through work. I've recently been seconded to a different department at work, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But within that department, I have discovered that there are many other Christians that I work with, and we really enjoy, on a daily basis, exchanging the good news of the word of the Lord.
That's wonderful. Actually, and also for you, Marianne, where is your front line?
Well, my front line is my work as well. I work for a private medical insurance company, and I and my team assess medical claims. The team that I work with, small team, most of them are not Christians, but they all know I'm a Christian, as I've never been shy about telling everybody, and they do tend to adapt their behaviour sometimes when I'm around. But I just like to model all the behaviours that Jesus calls us to model. And I didn't realise until doing this course that what I was doing every day in making sure that I was at work on time, I left on time and not earlier, and particularly with working from home, that I was always there available. And other people weren't necessarily the same, and I suddenly realised that this is the Christian way that people are when they're at work, and it was just a revelation to me. And and I continue to do that.
Very fruitful indeed, isn't it? So Charlotte, you know, what are some of the things that you've learnt through this course?
No, you're putting me on the spot. What have I learnt?
Do you remember the six M's? And we were going through what really mattered, where we could see ourselves potentially.
Yes.
You came out with something quite quickly, which is what you've been doing at work.
Yeah, I was
the messenger for the gospel.
I didn't realise this was my M at all. I didn't realise that I was doing this on a daily basis until actually doing this course and being made aware of, actually, I do this. I do spread the word of the Lord. I do speak to people unknowingly about God and my relationship with God and trying to promote the church within others. I was getting some work done on my car the other day. I was sitting in the waiting room with another young mum that's literally got a three-week-old baby. She's not completely in the area, but got family in the area, and I was promoting jumping beans. I was saying how lovely the church was, and she should come along and join in.
Wonderful. Marianne, in light of this course, can you share an example of where you found yourself to be fruitful on your front line?
I'm just trying to think of the M that it was. One of the M's, Mouthpiece for Truth and Justice. It came to my team's attention when we were advertising for a new starter that another team based in Bristol were also advertising for a new starter. But the salary that was being offered down in Bristol was 4,000 more than the salary that was being offered in Tunbridge Wells, and was above what most of the people in my team were receiving, having been there for several weeks or several years and have experience. So this was somebody new coming in on more money than they were getting, and they felt that was a little bit unfair. But they all sort of muttered about it amongst themselves. But I took it upon myself to raise it to one of the senior managers at our work. And at a meeting that we had, she was quite put out and quite surprised that this was brought up at a meeting that she was attending that she thought was going to be a nice, oh yes, we're all doing very well, thank you very much. And so she was quite amazed. She said she would go away and look into it. That was 4 months ago. We still haven't heard anything more, but I have chased it again. But this wasn't for me. It wasn't for my salary. I'm on a different, slightly different grade to the other people in my team because I'm a senior there. It was about them and what they were. And this was, to me, this wasn't justice. This wasn't fair. And I'm very much a person who likes things to be fair as much as possible. And so that's what I did. That was what it made me think about.
Thank you. Yeah, it's all of those things, isn't it, that we do every day that we don't realise how much Christ has changed us. And on that note, Charlotte, what impact has it had on your life, this course? What has it made you think of, or has it transformed any thoughts you've had? Or
it's made you think about how you go about your daily life. It changes everything. You think about how you speak to other people, how you treat other people. It's almost like you're turning into this finely tuned instrument. This instrument sat in the corner of a room for quite a while, covered in dust, and you're sort of slowly turning those knobs to tighten the strings up and to bring you in tune. And it's quite a revelation, really, as you start feeling this. I've literally just recently realised he answered one of my prayers, and to me that's huge. I've never felt that before. I've never realised that he's been answering all this time, but I haven't realised it. And I think through doing this course, it's brought me in tune with God and helped me along with my journey.
Wow.
Can I just say something? This isn't prepared. I was doing a lot of the things that were highlighted in this course, having been a Christian for many years. It highlighted that we weren't just Christians on Sunday. We weren't just being effective with all the things on a Sunday and what we did in relation to the church, any mission work. We were there on the front line, and everybody, as a Christian, has their front line and can work for Jesus in every word and deed, as our memory verse reminds us. So just a reminder for that. We can all. It was a revelation to me what we were doing, and if you haven't done the course, I would recommend it definitely for you to do. So come along and join a growth group.
Thank you so much. You can see I can see that this course has been a blessing to these two wonderful people up front, and I think we just need to be reminded of all the blessings that God gives us. And we can really make others see that. So thank you so much, both of you, for sharing.
The reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to chapter 4, verse 1. And it can be found on page 1184 of the Pew Bibles. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father God, thank you so much for our Lord Jesus and all he's done for us. Father, may what he's done overwhelm us such that we want to do everything in our lives for him. And as we think about our memory verse, which calls us to do that, Lord, we pray you would help us to understand it more clearly, to see how more clearly we are to live every moment of every day for our precious Lord Jesus. And in his name we ask these things. Amen. Please be seated. Do turn Colossians 3 up if you've got a Bible near you, page 1184 in the Pew Bibles. I wonder what place following Jesus has in your life. What place does following Jesus have in your life? For many, Jesus is seen as one among many interests that a person might pursue. As a result, following him becomes a compartmentalized thing. It's something you do at certain times and in certain contexts. Typically on a Sunday morning for an hour at 10:30 a.m. Perhaps once every 2 weeks at a growth group, or when you read your Bible at home or pray for a few minutes in the day. Jesus gets a certain amount of your time, and then you move on to other important things in your life. Following Jesus like this means that Jesus is just one aspect of a person's life, one aspect among many others. Following him is largely separate from everyday life, so that we might say that there's a sacred and secular divide in our lives. I wonder if that view describes the way in which you follow Jesus. It looks Christian. It certainly involves doing things that Christians do. But actually, this way of following Jesus is not distinctively Christian at all. And let me show you why. The letter of Colossians was written to a church that had lost its vision of who Jesus truly is. And unless we see Jesus as he truly and clearly is, we will not follow Jesus as he's meant to be followed. And this is why Paul reminds the Colossian church of Jesus' mind-blowing person and status earlier in the letter. If you were to just flick back to chapter 1, verse 15, we get this incredible paragraph speaking about who Jesus is. We're told that Jesus, the person of Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. We thought about that at Christmas, haven't we? He is literally God with skin on. We're told he's the firstborn. That doesn't mean he's the first thing that God made, because Jesus is not made. He is the eternal Son of God. But he's the firstborn in the sense that he is the rightful heir. Firstborn, it was the heir in the ancient times, the heir of everything within the family. He's the firstborn in that he is the rightful heir of all creation. Why is he the heir? Well, because he is the owner of it all, because in him all things were created. Jesus created absolutely everything, whether visible or invisible. He created mountains to molecules we can't see. He created planets that we see in the sky and through telescopes, and he created protons that we can't see with the naked eye. He created stars to synapses in our brain, and everything in between. Angels, mathematics, Horam, penguins, you name it, he created it. And look closely at verse 16. Because it was all for him. Everything is for Jesus. So why am I here? Why is Horam here? Why do stars exist? The Andes Mountains, Mexico City, why badgers? It's all for his purposes. Is that to overstate the case of Jesus' importance? No. Just look at verse 17. It says, he is before all things, meaning he is the origin of everything. Everything has come from him and only exists now because of him. But look also, it says that in him all things are holding together. Isn't that mind-blowing? Everything is being held together by the powerful Lord Jesus Christ. Even our own bodies. Everything. What's more, he is the head of the church. He is the head of the people that he died to save. And he's been raised from the dead in history as the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Tell me, from these verses, what part of life does not concern Jesus? See, because Jesus has the supremacy in all things, it means that everything has everything to do with Jesus. If you take one thing away from this morning, leave here with this thought in your mind, that everything has everything to do with Jesus. Because it's only when we see that will we realize that there can be no sacred secular divide when it comes to following him. To compartmentalize Jesus into a few hours on a Sunday and a smattering of moments in the week is to denigrate Jesus into one aspect of life, when Jesus is what the whole of life is all about, from its beginning to its middle to its future. What this means for you and me personally is that there is nothing, absolutely nothing in our lives that has nothing to do with Jesus. Everything in your life, everything has everything to do with him. It means that my life and your life does not belong to us. It's the life that he has given us. It's the life that he's given us for him and his purposes. 24/7. 365 days of every year of our existence. Now, only when we've understood that will our memory verse for the year make any sense at all. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Can you see how this verse makes sense only once we've grasped who Jesus is? Verse 17 comes in the context of those verses that we read about church life. And you might say, well, that's obvious. Everything we do in church should be done with Jesus in view. But just look down to verse 23. And the same phrase occurs. It says, whatever you do. And we've just had a list of family life. And he's just spoken about slaves and what they were to do. Whether we're husbands, wives, children, our home life, whether we're employed by others and our work life, it's all to be done. Even the mundane duties of everyday life, it's all to be done for the Lord Jesus and his name. Jesus is the centre of it all. You see, there's no secular, sacred divide when it comes to following Jesus. There's no moment in our lives which has nothing to do with him. Whether it's in church, or our place of work, or our family lives, or our hobbies, or our thought lives, or our homes, or our driving, or our cleaning, whatever it is, it's all to do with him. Which is why we're to do it all in his name. Let's just think about what that phrase means, to do it in Jesus' name. What does that mean, to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus? Well, to do something in the name of another is to do something on behalf of someone else. And to do it in a manner that befits that person we're doing it on behalf of. Every company has employees. Those employees serve the company and its ethos. Everything they do represents the company. So a John Lewis employee is to carry out their duties in store in ways that are keeping with all the qualities associated with the name of John Lewis. Great service, great value, great quality. I'm not on commission, by the way. See, to do everything in the name of Jesus is to do everything as his representative, to do it as if Jesus himself were the one doing it. So it'd be good for us to ask these sorts of questions as we go about our daily lives. Questions like, how would Jesus want me to do this? You know, if Jesus was here washing up, how would he be doing the washing up? What would Jesus do? How can I obey Jesus in this activity? What would Jesus want me to be doing with the next task before me? How would he want me to do it for him? Before we think about what this will mean positively, let me highlight what this doesn't mean. See, there's a danger that we read this verse, that whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, whether in word or deed. And we think, hey, it means we've got to be some kind of holy Joe. You know, we go through every day, leaving tracks wherever we go, only ever talking about the Lord Jesus, talking about nothing else, and just giving off this sort of air of a holier-than-thou attitude as we wander around. Now, clearly, Christ wants us to be his witnesses. We know that. That's one of the M's we've been thinking about in fruitfulness on the front line, being messengers of the gospel. He wants us to be his witnesses as he opens up opportunities. But he first wants us to be servants. He first wants us to do the very practical things before us in ways in which he's created us to do them. To do them in ways which honour his name. Because he is the servant king, isn't he? And so as his subjects, he wants us to be servants too. He wants to do everything before us in the best way we can to serve him and his purposes. So let's just think about this practically for a moment. Say you're a passenger on an aircraft and, you know, just think about the pilot at the front. And he's a Christian pilot. Now, would you want that Christian pilot to be engrossed on that flight in evangelism with ground control? And when he's finished that, he gets out a pen and paper and starts drawing a bridge to life. You know that thing we did a while ago with the gospel. To the cabin crew. Oh yeah, he's being a great witness for Jesus. But he's actually to be there to be a pilot. What you want the pilot to do is have his eyes on the instruments, to give his full attention to the job of flying the plane safely and to the best of his ability. That's how a Christian pilot flies a plane in the name of Jesus. He does it to the best of their ability. Interestingly, I think I've said it in the past, I've got a friend who's a pilot, a Christian pilot. And one of the things that is often done apparently in planes, because you're the pilot, you're the cabin crew, and there's all this sort of food and stuff on board, it's your privilege, isn't it? You can just have whatever you want because, you know, well, no, you shouldn't. You shouldn't just be taking that stuff. And actually, as a Christian pilot, he's realised that actually he needs to pay for that food. He shouldn't just assume that he can have it, because that's not a perk that they're told they can have. It's one of these unwritten rules that everybody does. And so he always makes sure that he pays. And when they ask why, he says, well, because he follows the Lord Jesus and he knows that actually he needs to be truthful. See, these are the kind of ways we can be Christian in our everyday work, in everything we do. Or imagine, a Christian plumber who comes to stop your leaking pipe. Now, you don't want him to come through the door and then open his Bible and start doing a Bible study with you, do you? You want him to get on his knees, get under the sink and start stopping the leak before more damage is done. And you want him to do it in a way that isn't ripping you off. Of course, Christians are to be prepared to speak for Jesus, as we said, as opportunities arise. But our first task is to serve in a manner that befits Jesus himself, to do every task that's before us as if Jesus were doing that. And to jump again to verse 23, it means doing whatever we do, not only in the name of Jesus, so not only like Jesus, but doing it for Jesus. Work as working for the Lord. See, remember, everything has to do with Jesus. So everything we do is to be done on his behalf and for him and his purposes. So when we serve a cup of coffee to a friend, we're to do it as if Jesus were the one who is receiving that coffee. When we look after the grandchildren, we do it because Jesus has asked us to care for them, not simply our son or daughter. Whatever we do it in his name, as Jesus would do it, and we do it for him, as if he has asked us to do it, or as if he's the one who's directly receiving what we're doing. Now, I was thinking about this, because I've been dwelling on this verse every day this week, and I've just been trying to think, whatever I'm doing next, how can I do this in a way that fulfills that verse? Whatever I do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I was rushing in the morning to take Mahalia to school, dropped her off at school, and then I started driving back, and I thought, hey, I've got this 10-minute journey back down the lanes back home. What does it mean for me, driving on my own for 10 minutes? How can I do even this in the name of the Lord Jesus? So I started just thinking about it as I was driving along. I started thinking, well, you know, Jesus would drive according to the law, wouldn't he? So you better slow down, PJ. He'd drive with both hands on the wheel. He'd drive considerately. He'd drive attentively through the lanes. He'd be thoughtful of other drivers. He'd be thoughtful of pedestrians. You know, he'd want me to be driving safely. So thinking about this verse on my way back from school actually changed the way I was driving. And if I thought more about this, it would change the way I drive all the time, quite honestly. And then I thought about how I'd drive if I was doing it not only like Jesus, but for Jesus, as if he was the passenger. I felt a bit embarrassed as I looked at the snotty tissues on the all over the car, about the leaves and the stones all over the floor. It was a bit of a mess. Now, I couldn't do much about it then as I was driving along, but it did make me think, check, get this place cleaned up. But if Jesus was in the car, if he was there with me, how would I be driving? Well, I'd be full of joy. Joy about being with Jesus, wouldn't you? At the time, I'd have a proper frown on my face. I was burdened by the day ahead. And then I remembered the end of the verse, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, whatever we do, we're to do it in an attitude of gratitude, of thankfulness, of joy in our hearts. So as I drove, I thought about how thankful I was that I was actually able to drive at all. I find driving kind of fun. But I'd forgotten that actually I kind of enjoy it. So I tried to enjoy the moment, slipping into another gear. You know, it was fun, it was good. And then I looked at the fields with the mist on it early in the morning. And there was some geese there. And it just looked so romantic and beautiful. And I said, thank you, Lord, for creating all that. This is beautiful. What a wonderful creation you've made. Thank you for letting me even see this morning. And what's more, Jesus was with me in the car. And I was doing it for him suddenly. I tell you, it transformed that most ordinary moment of my day and gave me a completely different perspective that I don't think I'd really had before in driving. And it just gave me a glimpse on perhaps what the rest of my life could look like if I did everything in his name and for my Lord Jesus. Whether it's the washing up, whether it's doing the shopping, whether it's cleaning the loos, whether it's singing a hymn on a Sunday, whether it's baking a cake, whether it's calling a relative, whether it's doing an email. Think how this verse could transform our lives. See, when this verse gets into our souls, it will transform the most mundane of daily tasks and make it into a task of dignity, of joy, as we honour the supremacy of Jesus in everything we do, whatever we do. We've only begun to think about what doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus means. But please do go away and give yourselves to learning this verse. The only reason, actually, I could use that 10 minutes in the car to think about the verses because I bothered to memorize it, and it had taken me quite a few days, and you saw I'd done it this morning. But you know, it is hard work. It doesn't take that long, but it does require some sort of commitment. But as you memorize a verse, it does mean you can do it without having the verse in front of you, and it means that you can then begin to apply it in that situation in which you're in and meditate upon it. Suddenly it becomes clear how we can be fruitful for Jesus in more ways than we ever imagined. Suddenly every part of life has purpose, dignity, joy, and can further the honour and glory due to Jesus our Lord. You know, it's why we say at the end of every service, I wonder if you ever noticed this, it's a bit of one of those sort of throwaway lines that we can say just because, you know, it's there in the service here and we haven't really realised what we're saying. But every week at the end of the service, we say, go, go, go where? Go into the world, go into the rest of your week to in love and peace. Go in peace and love to go in peace to love and serve the Lord. You see, that's what we're to do. Sunday is here not to be the time we have with God, it's to be the time we have with God so that we can go and have time with God in the world where we are, in every situation. It's to equip us to serve the Lord in the whole of our lives. We are being sent out every Sunday into our homes, into our work, into our families, into our friendships, into our hobbies, to live for Jesus Christ. Do you know, every time I go to Jen Lewis, I've always come out, I'm not saying how wonderful Sarah was or Steve was, whoever it was that served me, but I always come out of John Lewis thinking, John Lewis is brilliant. Why don't I shop here more? I love coming here. And the reason is because those people who served me were doing it on behalf of the company. So I come out not thinking about them personally, but just thinking about John Lewis. And you know, when we do whatever we do in the name of Jesus and for Jesus, it will be Jesus that people will see in us. And it will be his name that people will praise and not ours. What better way can there be to impact our community than to do everything in the name of Jesus and for our Lord Jesus? Jesus in the whole of our lives. Let's just take a moment to think about this verse and how we can apply it personally, uniquely, to the lives that God has given us. Let's just have a moment to reflect together. As we finish, we're going to just see a very brief video, which is practically applying the verse. You'll be able to see it as people are acting on the screen, carrying on their daily lives. But also, this brief video is a prayer. Different people will be saying different aspects of the prayer. Let's use this as our response to the Lord Jesus this morning. And this is a video from the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, those who have produced the Fruitfulness on the Frontline course.
Father, help me do good today.
I want to shape this place to your design.
Help me see the value my work has to you.
May I model your kindness and patience,
so that you are recognised.
May they know Jesus through my presence.
May they see your light as I share mine.
Give me your joy and self-control,
so that your warmth touches those I meet.
Help me to be generous,
quick to put others first,
sharing clearly your love and grace.
Give me words to speak about you,
and courage to stand for justice and truth.
Whatever the day brings,
in my humanity, weakness, breakthrough,
let my life overflow with you.
Thank you.